Yeah, I'm pleased to be here actually this evening to talk about my personal journey about my spiritual life and involvement with Tri Ratna and influenced by Dr. Ambedkar and Dhamma Revolution. Ratna Ghosh asked me to give this talk. He said this is a personal talk. It's not like an academic or theoretical talk. It's a personal talk. You're talking about your personal experiences, about my spiritual journey, and what Dr. Ambedkar, Karuna, Dhamma Revolution mean to me. Yeah. So I'm really pleased actually. He asked me to give a personal talk rather than different kind of talk, because that's not my area at all. Yeah. I'm not good at studying things like that, so personal talk is good. It's really pleased to be here because it's been a month. I had a young baby called Akash. He's born in just a month before. So it's been a busy time. Haven't managed to meditate last 1 week. Haven't managed to sit down and reflect on many things. So it was very difficult to write this talk, if you like. I wish I had a bit more time to think and reflect and have a little bit more thoughtful talk, if you like. But the other hand, I thought when Ratna Ghosh asked me to give this talk, I knew that it's going to be this, you know, the baby's going to be young, the time is going to be busy, I will be tired and maybe no sleep sometime and things like that. And somehow I wanted to say yes to this talk. Yeah. So that's why I said yes, I will give this talk. So as you know, we just celebrated Dr. Ambedkar's birth anniversary. So it's 127th birth anniversary of Dr. Ambedkar. And it's celebrated hugely in India, as you know. And the worldwide actually, it's been celebrated most of different countries as well recently. And Dr. Ambedkar is a most influenced and most influenced person in India, certainly, and maybe outside India as well. Yeah. So little bit talking about Dr. Ambedkar is always brings also memories for me, you know, because my spiritual life has dominated by Dr. Ambedkar's work, if you like. So I'm here because of Dr. Ambedkar. So I'm so grateful actually to just we're doing something about Dr. Ambedkar's birth anniversary today in Buddhist Center, that which is really, really fantastic, I think. And celebration can go long. In India, celebration can be last 4 or 5 days, series of talks every day. There will be different activities every day, and so on. And I had strong memories about celebrating Dr. Ambedkar's Day in India, certainly in my village where I grew up when I was very young. When there is a 14th of October, 14th of April, always miss India, always miss celebration in India and so on. And yeah, just talking about that day is it's fantastic, because there is so much celebration goes on days and days, and people are on that particular day. People talk one thing again and again, maybe 100 times people will say same thing again and again, is that I'm here because of Dr. Ambedkar. People will say I'm so grateful because of Dr. Ambedkar, wouldn't have exist, I wouldn't be exist. So you hear that praise or saying all the time on that particular day. And people will say Dr. Ambedkar was different. He was a different man. He was a great man. And people will just fill with this gratitude and gratefulness about Dr. Ambedkar. And that's certainly my experience whole of my life. And I'm sure so many Indian brothers and sisters will say the same thing. So today, to talk about a little bit about my personal journey, especially my spiritual journey, I thought what's the best way to really describe my experience and my involvement with Triratna movement in India and also influenced by Dr. Ambedkar, Namah Revolution and Karuna. And I thought maybe I will talk in terms of the maybe going for refuge levels. Bhante called it's a dimension of going for refuges. There is a 5 level of going for refuges or commitment with the spiritual life, Bhante calls. And it's cultural going for refuge, provisional going for refuge, then there's effective going for refuge, then there's a real going for refuge, and there's absolute going for refuge. And I thought maybe I will try to talk into these levels of my spiritual journey, if you like. I won't talk about real going for refuge and absolute going for refuge, because I'm long way away from real going for refuge, if you like. That's only for returns, non-returns. Point of non-returns, when you have broke the 3 factors, you will be into real going for refuge stage, which is I'm not there at all. So I will talk into this level cultural experience, cultural Buddhist and provisional going for refuge and effective going for refuge, where Bhante said when you get ordained, that's you are effectively going for refuge. That's where you committed to spiritual path. That's represent as you going for refuge as effectively. But effective going for refuge doesn't mean you are non-return. So on effective going for refuge, it still will be fallback. So I'll talk a little bit about that one. So a little bit maybe remind us what's the 5 stages and what does it mean, these 5 stages. So first is cultural going for refuge. And provisional going for refuge, kind of 2 things really, same thing. So in cultural going for refuge, Bhante says his commitment is gradual, engaging more and more one's energies as alliance oneself. So, sorry, I'm just mixing with this one. In cultural going for refuge, it means you will be influenced by positive group or, for example, Buddhist center or one's cultural as a Buddhist, you will be influenced that, but your commitment will be quite weak. You won't be committed so much, that much. So that's cultural going for refuge. And provisional going for refuge, Bhante also says, you probably have sometimes glimpses of darshan, samyak drishti, perfect vision. So you will have a little bit glimpses that what's life about, you know, why are, and that's, when you have that glimpses, you're likely to commit yourself to the spiritual life. But in provisional going for refuge, you will you won't be fully integrated enough, or you won't have that much courage or confidence still on going for refuge to commit yourself fully to life. So you will have a samyak drishti, you will have a perfect vision, glimpse of perfect vision, but you still won't be fully committed to this. And effective going for refuge, Bhante said you have a commitment, especially with the karmic niyama, the karma niyama. So you will be engaged with producing good karma for yourself and for others. There is a definite commitment you have. There is a definite force. There is a definite integration is going on with you. Your energy is going into one place and you are fully committed to this path of going for refuge, if you like. And so that's a little bit present, effective going for refuge. But still, you will have us three factors to break. And you still be working with these 3 factors and so on. And you still will be fall back from this commitment. So unless you have a break these 3 factors, you won't be real going for refuge. And real going for refuge goes on, absolute going for refuge goes on, and so on. So I thought maybe I'll talk around these things. My experience of how I did affected by culture or provisional going for refuge, if you like. So as Honor actually mentioned, I got involved with Triratna when I was very young, I was 8 or 9 years old in my village. There was a I was born as a Buddhist. In a way, Bhante said you can't be born as a Buddhist. Nobody born as a Buddhist. You just born as a human being, and then you will have some kind of influence from outside, and then you will form your religious views. So in a way, I can't say I was born as a Buddhist. I was born in Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar's community, like where Dr. Ambedkar born in this community called Mahar community or Dalit community, where that community, I belong to that community. So in a way, I was quite lucky, if you like, because there was a lot of activities going on in my village about Buddhism. Especially my village was quite dominated by Tiratna activities. There were a lot of order members coming in, leading some classes. There would be some different cultural activities for kids and so on. So that's why I actually dominated my experience of going for refuge, if you like. Experience of cultural going for refuge. So when I was young, I was quite inspired by Dr. Ambedkar's example. I was quite inspired by Buddhism, if you like. But I didn't have any idea what Buddhism is about. And I was so young, so I didn't have any really real and depth understanding about Buddhism. But there was certain kind of attraction towards the Buddhist movement in me. And I must say, I mean, the way I became Buddhist is probably different than you. Definitely Dr. Ambedkar said, leave Buddhism and become Buddhist. Leave Hinduism and become Buddhist. And that's why I became Buddhist. You know, that's why I learned from Dr. Ambedkar's faith in Dr. Ambedkar. I just believe in Dr. Ambedkar. He said just leave Buddhism and become Buddhist. And that's why generally I became Buddhist, to be honest. And especially Dr. Ambedkar said if you want to gain self-respect, change your religion. If you want to create cooperative society, change your religion. If you want to power, change your religion. If you want equality, change your religion. If you want independence, change your religion. If you want to make the world in which you live happy, change your religion. And this message of Dr. Ambedkar is actually quite strong. He had a different idea of changing religion, definite idea of social change and social transformation. That's why he was very, very powerful, saying that change your religion if you want to gain respect, self-respect, especially the affected by caste system, affected by caste views and mentality. It's quite different. It's affected in a very different way, and it's very, very important. Dr. Ambedkar said, if you want to gain self-respect, if you want to change your society, you change your religion. And that's quite a powerful message I had when I was young, and that's why one thing I really look up to Buddhism. I became Buddhist, I think. So there are a few things. The cultural Buddhist, I was cultural Buddhist. So one thing is definitely there's influence by Dr. Ambedkar's sayings. There's a definite influence by Dr. Ambedkar's work. There's a definitely Dr. Ambedkar said, because change your religion if you want this, and that's what definitely my views have informed about Buddhism, if you like, and that's why I made choices about Buddhism. Though my family, even I'm born in a Buddhist village or Buddhist society, my mother wasn't Buddhist, if you like. She was follower of Hindu. She was worshipping Hindu God and so on. So I was influenced by that as well. So when I was very young, I was also following these Hindu gods and worshipping Hindu gods and so on. And but that's why only because my mother actually influenced me quite a lot. So yeah, so what's the cultural going for refuge, or what cultural Buddhist I was there? What influenced me to be cultural Buddhist, if you like? So the first thing is really definitely Dr. Ambedkar. He said, change your religion, and seeing his work, seeing his inspiration, seeing his examples, I was kind of inspired and drawn to this kind of vision of going for refuge or social change. And that's why I was definitely attracted to something higher, if you like. And that's why I became Buddhist. There's another thing is the day I became officially Buddhist, if you like. So there is a, since 1956, Dr. Ambedkar converted into Buddhism. He converted into Buddhism with his followers, thousands and thousands of followers converted into Buddhism in 1956. And since then, there are so many small conversion happening in India, in small scales. Sometimes 1,000 people will convert into Buddhism, sometimes 500, sometimes maybe more than 1,000, and so on. And in my village, when I was 9 years old, there was conversion happening. There was one event was happening, and that event led by actually some older members. And basically, we were converting to Buddhism officially, if you like. So there were big celebration of 1956, the day of 1956. And our 1,000 people converting to Buddhism, and they were coming from different communities. You know, there are different castes in India, and definitely there was few people from different communities coming to take Buddhism. And that's how I became Buddhist on that day, officially. Like, I filled the form, and that's where I declared I am a Buddhist from that day. And that's why, that's where I felt again I was quite Buddhist, if you like, you know. But that's still, I was just culturally Buddhist. That doesn't mean I was very committed to Buddhist path and so on. So the day I was converted into Buddhism officially, that was one of my experience of cultural Buddhist. And yeah, there is a whole Dhamma revolution is going on in India after Dr. Ambedkar's mass conversion and his example. Especially from our community, or Buddhist community, everyone considered themselves Buddhist. And it's really interesting. I don't think there is any movement, any organizations like Dr. Ambedkar's organizations have succeeded in changing people's lives. I have seen in one generation how many people have changed only because of Dr. Ambedkar's work in India. In just my one generation, I can see, especially Buddhist communities or Dalit communities, have tremendously transformed financially, economically, yeah, socially. They're uplifting, the mental states are different. Their courage and confidence have increased. I can see in my village now there's a lot of teachers, some of them doctors, some of them engineers, some of them researchers, you know, some of them really doing fantastic work. And that's only happened only because of Dr. Ambedkar's work, if you like. If Dr. Ambedkar wouldn't have existed, that change wouldn't have happened. So, interestingly enough, really, how much has changed in just like one generation because of the Dr. Ambedkar? I don't think anything like that have changed anywhere else. So the Dr. Ambedkar's movement is hugely affected in people's lives in India. So yeah, that whole Dhamma revolution has influence on my going for refuge, if you like, to make some kind of commitment to Buddhism. And yeah, I was lucky enough, there was some activities going on by Triratna in my village, led by older members, coming every weekly classes, leading weekly classes, meditation, sometimes just Dhamma classes and so on. But particularly, I was affected by one of Karuna's project. That's how I work for Karuna Trust. The project called Ashwaghosh. Ashwaghosh is cultural activities for kids, where they go into village every weekly basis and lead classes for children. They teach singing, they teach drama, they teach fun games and so on. And they also teach some ethical lessons and so on. And Buddha and Dr. Ambedkar, they talk about Buddha and Dr. Ambedkar. And that's where actually I went to. And that's where I probably most, because I benefited, when I was very young, I got involved with Buddhism only because of the Karuna's project came to my village. If Karuna's project couldn't have come to my village, probably I wouldn't be able to involved with Buddhism so young. When I say so young, an involvement with Buddhism is not that every childhood is now involved with Buddhism because of the Dr. Ambedkar's mass conversion, especially from my society. So I see my niece, she's just 4 years old, and she can be influenced by these cultural activities. She comes along with these activities and so on. But with particular Ashwagosh project, I think particular they are affecting kids, they're affecting children, and that project is not anymore actually happening anymore in India. That's a shame. But I was lucky enough to go along with these activities and influenced by these activities very deeply actually. And that's why I went on my first retreat when I was 13 years old. I went on my week-long retreat and so on. So yeah, so there is a little bit cultural aspect of my going for refuge. It comes from, definitely Dr. Ambedkar's influence, the local Tiratna influence. There is a positive group happening, there is a whole Dhamma revolution is happening in India, and that has influence on my mental state, that has influence on my encouragement in thinking about differently, thinking about religion, that has influence on in my thinking about Hinduism, if you like. Definitely there was I was able to see what's wrong with the caste system and how caste system is deeply rooted in Hinduism. And why Hinduism is not good enough for my personal development and so on. And there is a definite kind of rebellious against Hinduism, if you like. I'm choosing to Buddhism. Yeah. So yeah, everything is happening like this. I was getting involved with Tiratna when I was very young. I more and more got involved with Buddhist activities, and somehow I was able to see what's benefiting on myself Buddhism. And then when I was got involved when I was 16, I went to a different city where called Pune, where I went and study and lived and worked with social activities, and with Karuna actually I worked there. And from there I managed to uplift myself, if you like, a bit more. But what has affected me to go for refuge truly effectively? So I will talk about that a little bit. From cultural activities, from cultural going for refuge to provisional going for refuge, what has affected me to going for effective going for refuge? Yeah. So it's easy to be cultural Buddhist in India. It's easy to form like a provisional going for refuge in India because of there are certain conditions established because of the Dr. Ambedkar, because of that there's a lot of different organizations doing fantastic work, the positive change is happening, the social change is happening, there is a lot of different talks and seminars is happening around Buddhism, and easy to influence by that, easy to influence by these activities and say I'm a Buddhist. And I see a lot of my friends and family and people in India, they are Buddhist, and they're cultural Buddhist, provisional Buddhist, and a lot of them manage to go beyond provisional going for refuge, and some of them really they don't manage at all. But that doesn't mean the cultural Buddhist is not important or valid. I think cultural Buddhism is so important that well, that is basis for my basis for going for provisional, going for refuge, or effective going for refuge, if you like. So if there is a not culture available in India as a Buddhist, probably I won't be able to, I wouldn't have able to involve with Buddhism so young. If there wasn't be activities for kids, I wouldn't have a contact to explore Buddhism for me, if you like. So the culture, Buddhism is so important, I think, once people making decision about religion and so on. I can see just my 4 years niece, actually how she's influencing by this, just having a culture around. She's just responding to Dr. Ambedkar's songs, if you like. She's responding, she's hearing about Buddha's stories when she's now young. And somehow she's getting attracted to this kind of culture, and the Buddhist culture and so on. So yeah, but the question is how to move from culture Buddhism, culture Buddhist, provisional going for refuge to the effective going for refuge. Yeah. And so that's why I'm a little bit going to talk about effective going for refuge. So yeah, along with these activities, like going on retreat, daily meditation, going to the center, there is a spiritual friendship, there is a maybe personal reflections going on. Along with these all activities going on, there are a few things I think that are affecting my going for refuge, to go for affecting going for refuge for myself. And I want to really talk about these three factors. Generally, when you talk about going for refuge, the level of going for refuge, you talk about these three factors. But I'm not going to talk about this one because I wouldn't have time, and this occasion is different. So I'm going to talk a little bit how different conditions have affected me to commit myself to the spiritual path effectively, if you like. So yeah, the first thing I think it's really helped me to go for refuge effectively is just reflecting on my own life, reflecting on just my own life, where I was when I was 35 years old. I'm 35 years old, where I was born in India, in a small village. Regardless, there are so many difficulties and poverty and injustice and discrimination. When I was young, I can see how caste system has affected me. I can see how my mother affected by caste system when she was discriminated against caste system in India. When she used to go to work, people would discriminate her, wouldn't touch her, you know, and so on. And definitely I did influence by these activities and practices deeply. And there's a poverty, there's a small village, there's not many opportunities, and regardless, somehow I managed to come and sit front of you in this stand at the moment. And when I reflect this journey from last 35 years, I could not believe how I come from, how I come far, far so away now, you know. And there's so many conditions that affected my life. There are great friendships, there are Corona's projects, there's the Tri Ratna projects, there's Dr. Ambedkar's vision, there's the Dr. Ambedkar's drive and force saying that educate, agitate, and what else? Educate yourself, agitate, and fight. Okay. Sorry?
Organize.
That's right, organize. So yeah, and that's all, actually within that process is all happening, and I can see how much my life has changed from 35 years ago, that's Sanganath in a small village, now just coming to Cambridge and just talking with you. And when I just reflect on my own life, the first thing come to mind is just gratitude. Actually, how grateful I am for a few things. First is definitely Dr. Ambedkar and his vision and his contribution to my life. Without him, probably I wouldn't be able to come so far. even I probably might be not able to educate myself, or I will not be able to read or write or take opportunities and so on. So definitely there is some kind of gratitude emotions I experience about Dr. Ambedkar, about my friends, about my mother, about the centers I was involved with, so on. And that made me strong impact on myself to commit to the going for refuge effectively, if you like. That has always inspired me to commit to the highest the values in life, such as kindness or generosity or radicalism and idealism and so on. So definitely that's why I feel like my effective going for refuge has affected. Yeah. So that's one condition I can see myself happening. And when I was got ordained in 2008, I was got ordained in Goheloka, and that's where Bhante said, Bhante says, when you get ordained, that's where you are effectively going for refuge. That's where you committed to these three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. And Bhante also said, it's witnessed by your fellow Sangha members. They recommend you for ordination. And I think I definitely felt the sense of going for refuge. There is a strong commitment I can witness in myself in that ordination. I felt like this is it. Actually, this is I want to dedicate my life. Especially actually on the connection of the Dr. Ambedkar's mass conversion day in 1956. I thought if Dr. Ambedkar's mass conversion day wouldn't happen, I wouldn't have ordained, I wouldn't have this platform to explore myself and commit with Buddhism. So definitely the ordination, I felt very strongly that this is I want to commit myself. Which is very interesting. I never ever had problems with practicing in Triyatna context. Since young age, I always attracted to the Triyatna community. And there was first retreat I'd done when I was 13 years old. I went on first retreat, long retreat. And after that retreat, I was just crying. There was strong response to the three jewels. The strong response, especially the Sangha jewel. And I thought, this is it. This is I want to be part of a group or part of this organization, Triyatna. And ordination, actually that remarked me a little bit more strongly, if you like. In getting ordained in Triyatna context, I definitely felt like this is it. Actually, this is my context of going for refuge. This is my context of exploring my inspiration about Buddhism and so on. So yeah, ordination, definitely. Other thing is really helped me to going for refuge effectively, I think it's definitely faith in Dr. Ambedkar and faith in Bhante Sangharakshit. I don't feel I have any doubt about Dr. Ambedkar is my inspiration or teacher, if you like. Definitely Dr. Ambedkar is my drive for my spiritual inspiration and so on. Without probably having Dr. Ambedkar in my life, in my spiritual life, I don't think my spiritual life would be same. Yeah. So there's definitely faith in Dr. Ambedkar and what he has done for me, and there's definitely gratitude, katanuyata. Katanuyata means gratitude, seeing that what he has done for me, and myself and the others. So definitely there is a faith in Dr. Ambedkar and Bhante Sangharakshit. I feel like Bhante Sangharakshit is a Dr. Ambedkar gives me strong context of Buddhism. He gave me platform to become Buddhist. But at the same time, I didn't have any idea how to practice Buddhism, how to explore Buddhism. But Bhante Sangharakshit came to India and he gave that context to me. I don't have any doubt that Bhante is my teacher. Yeah, I don't feel there's a lot of criticism goes on about Panthe, but I personally don't have any doubt. Panthe is my teacher, and Dr. Ambedkar is my teacher. And there is another question: what does it mean they're my teacher? What does it mean Panthe and Dr. Ambedkar is my teacher? And I'm asking that question again and again to myself. What does it mean that, you know? What does it mean Panthe is my teacher? How much I engaged with Panthe's teaching? How much I engaged what Panthe says? How much I engaged in what Dr. Ambedkar says? How much I listen to Dr. Ambedkar and so on? And I feel that there is always this questioning going on. But deep down, I don't feel any sense of doubt. Panthe and Dr. Ambedkar is my teacher. Yeah, how did I manage to come from a cultural Goenpa Rinpoche to the effective Goenpa Rinpoche? Definitely in effective Goenpa Rinpoche, definitely there's a Dr. Ambedkar is influencing my spiritual life. There's a definite Panthe Sangharakshit, and I feel there's a connection with Panthe Sangharakshit. Definitely my friends have influenced my spiritual life, especially my private preceptor, Arthapriya, my public preceptor, Mahamati, and whole order has context for me to practice and understand my life and my spiritual life to go for refuge deeply. What Dr. Ambedkar actually wanted to be his follower, to go for effective Goenpa Rinpoche or real Goenpa Rinpoche. He doesn't want it to be remain his followers or anyone just as a cultural Buddhist or provisional Goenpa Rinpoche or provisional Buddhist, if you like. He definitely wanted to see his followers going beyond provisional Goenpa Rinpoche, commit themselves to the Buddhist path as much as they can. And not just that, he wanted to see that his followers are also doing something for changing people's lives in India and outside India. And I'm so glad actually, because Dr. Ambedkar's interpretation of Buddhism is definitely to transform people, transform society. He wanted to see the new society based on liberty, equality, and fraternity. He wanted to see his society based on Buddhist inspiration. He wanted to see his society definitely on helping others, seeing India become Buddhist, and not just India but whole world is become Buddhist. So that's probably one of the things always influenced by my going for refuge, is to doing something for others. There's aspect, I think there is a very strong aspect in Buddhist culture in India to do something for others. You know, the Dhamma revolution or your spiritual life is not about yourself. It's not about just development of ourselves. There's a definite emphasis on going or doing something for others. And I think that's only because of Dr. Ambedkar. He did influence so much on doing something for others, transforming yourself and transforming the world. In fact, I think Dr. Ambedkar had some critics on four sides of Buddha. As you say, Buddha left home when seeing these four sides, old age and sickness and holy man and so on. I think Dr. Ambedkar is quite critical about that. He says the four sides are universal. They're bound to be experienced by human being, sickness and old age and so on. They're universal truth. We can't really argue with them. And I know we extremely benefit reflecting on death and sickness and so on. But Dr. Ambedkar's critics still, he thinks this is still passivity in the Buddhist world. He thinks this is a misunderstanding of Buddha's teaching. So he emphasized on social change. His interpretation of that particular incident, he said Buddha left home because there was, instead of quarrel or war between Kolins and Shakya. There was water, Rohini River. There's every year there will be war or argument between these two kingdoms to have this water for their land. And they always argue about these things. This is my water, this is your water, how much water I can have, how much water you can have. And Buddha was from this community called Shakya, and there's another kingdom called Kolya. So they between have, they always have a fight every year around this river's water. And one day these two kingdoms came together and they said, this argument is going to end into war. We have to have war. We have to have war to decide who's going to have this war. And they were deciding, and Buddha said, the war is not answer. The war is not answer for this, the water. And there was so much, actually Dr. Ambedkar talks in Buddha and his Dhamma, this story very well. I think I'm probably not elaborating this story quite so far very well. But the story goes that Buddha opposed this all argument, all opinions about having a war. His senapati, his people were deciding to have war for this water. And Buddha said, no, we're not going to have a war. We're going to have a different approach to this problem. And then Buddha don't succeed in convincing he wasn't Buddha, he was Siddhartha. He didn't succeed to convince them. And then the end, whole kingdom, Buddha's kingdom, decided to abandon Buddha, Siddhartha, and he said, Buddha, you have to leave this kingdom. Either you have to leave this kingdom or we will punish you, and so on. And Buddha decided to leave home for that reason, to bring peace in that kingdom. And that's how left home. That's what Dr. Ambedkar said, that's how Siddhartha left home and went into forest and discovered the truth of enlightenment. And so Buddha, like that, Dr. Ambedkar really emphasized on this story than four sides, if you like. Dr. Ambedkar really sees the Buddhism is the vehicle for social change, social suffering in India. He sees that there's a complex all the time going on in the world between man and woman, between mother and son. There's always fights going on between nations. There's always fights going on for all sorts of things. And bringing peace is so important. So that's why Dr. Ambedkar chose that story very interestingly. So if you want to read the story, actually it's in Buddha and His Dhamma, why Dr. Ambedkar's interpretation of these four sides are different. Anyway, I think I need to finish here, and I can see that it how this talk ended this evening, and I knew that it's got complicated to reflect a little bit this time for me in terms of the level of going for refuge. So I don't know, I made it a bit complicated myself to represent my experience about spiritual life in terms of this dimension of going for refuge. And I can feel that, I can sense that it had a bit complicated to talk about my spiritual journey. What can I say? Maybe I would say, actually, I'm going for refuge for Trijul Buddha Dhamma Sangha only because of the Dr. Ambedkar's contribution to my life. If Dr. Ambedkar wouldn't have existed, probably I wouldn't have able to come to this far. Not many, many people in India come to this far. So, and I feel like there is still a lot of work to do for myself in terms of the transforming my mental states, in terms of the transforming myself, and in terms of doing something for others in India or anywhere else, eradicating suffering, especially eradicating the caste system. So yeah, I'm really sorry, a little bit, maybe it was a bit complicated to understand. It was complicated to describe my experience into this complicated way, I think. It could have been a bit simpler way, I think there might be a simple way. Maybe there's another time to do things like this for me. But I'm extremely thankful to you guys. You just seated, you came here, and we're celebrating Dr. Ambedkar's 127th anniversary. And if you don't understand anything tonight, just understand how Dr. Ambedkar is essential and significant for myself and many, many people in India. Yeah. So thank you very much. Thank you.